works wide on the left wing side. Riley's in front of the net. It goes around back of the goal in front for Marner. Scores! Holy mackerel! Mitch Marner ends the game. Bruins big boys got it tied. The Leafs big boys win the game.
Very well said, Joe Bowen on the Leafs Radio Network. What a call, and just a great ending to a great overall hockey game. A 4-3 final for the Maple Leafs in OT and a goal from Mitch Marner. Welcome back inside Scotiabank Arena. This is Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick breaking down what was a rather eventful and fun night to be at the arena, Gord.
It really was. You know, we talked about that in the Keys to Victory earlier about, you know, it's a Saturday hockey night in Canada, original six battle. This is the team that's put you out of your playoffs and caused so much misery recently, and Leafs came up big. Really did. So did the Bruins. I mean, the Bruins outshoot the Leafs 45-29. So we'll have all kinds of things to talk about in Leafs Nation postgame. And it's interesting at the end there, the game tying goal for the Bruins will show a little bit about why Mike Babcock has had a reluctance to put Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner together, which they were for a lot of tonight because there was a bad giveaway and they'd had some times where they struggled in the defensive zone. But that call, and I imagine we'll hear it later, the call of the game, and that goal, even though it's 3-on-3, that'll be a highlight reel goal. Having Morgan Riley, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, just the whole play, the skill in getting that valuable extra point in overtime will be one of the highlights of this NHL season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was a fun, fun way to end it with a full house and a very pumped and jacked up Toronto Maple Leaf crowd.
Yeah, and in general, I thought overtime was a lot of fun on both sides. I thought both goaltenders were solid for this 4-3 hockey game. And again, the Maple Leafs taking it 4-3 on an OT winner with 106 remaining, courtesy Mitch Marner. That was a lot of fun to watch that combo. But again, that's why there has been, as you said, the reluctance to play Marner and Matthews together. But for the most part, offensively speaking, I like what those two brought to the table tonight, more so Mitch Marner.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, I don't think Marner could have been a star. I mean, what does it matter about the stars? But
yeah.
Timoshov was a star, which I thought was great. Kerfoot would have deserved to be
a star.
Great,
yeah.
They were the guys that were the best players that way. But you're right. It just, I really like the glimpses. They had to use different players there. Now, Andreas Janssen, maybe we'll find out a little bit from Mike Babcock. But, boy, he blocked a shot. And, you know, we saw Nicholas Jalmerson out for over 3 months when he blocked an Eric Johnson shot a couple weeks ago. A little shot from Morgan Riley catching John Tavares in the hand. He's out for a couple weeks. So they had to interchange some of the parts on that line. It's funny because Mike Babcock did not tip his hand. This is what he was going to do tonight. But all in all, I like what I saw. They didn't finish enough like they'd want to. They did it certainly in overtime there. And defensively, again, that's the part that's where he loves the Zach Hymans in the world of that, because that's the part what they have to work on a little bit.
Yeah, they do. And at this rate, I mean, Sokolov's going to have two segments on our broadcast because the infirmary is growing. And again, we hope the best here when it comes to Andreas Janssen, but he couldn't come back there, as you referenced, for the third period. And that's two of the top six for the Maple Leafs out, at least in this game, with no John Tavares.
Yeah, and that's what regular season are about, right? Playing through injuries. We've seen it with the Pittsburgh Penguins, all the injuries they've suffered. And then having Sidney Crosby and guys like Sam Lafferty coming up and doing the job. And there's this challenge on for the Toronto Maple Leafs a bit. I mean, I hope Janssen doesn't miss significant games, but wow, that was a pretty hard shot. He didn't play after that.
Yeah, and all in all, I think challenge accepted, Gord. And this, it looks like Morgan Riley's actually going to get credit for this goal. What a way to score a goal.
So maybe they'll make Riley the first star now. And
just, you know, can they bring them back on the ice? Can we get a new stick, please?
Well, that even makes it better. Like I said, the big three, because really those are the big three guys.
Great.
You know, you add Tavares in there. Nylander's a little bit different that way. But so those were the three with the goaltender in there that made the difference in overtime.
And so what I was getting to was challenge accepted, because, again, anytime you're missing, especially a guy who makes a lot of money, John Tavares is your captain. He's a key ingredient to success, clearly, of this team. I thought a lot of guys stepped up in this game. You mentioned Kerfoot, among others. There were some guys who I think internally knew they had to be better, especially, you know, that's a massive void in your lineup, and there were a couple guys on this Leafs team who really stepped up tonight.
Alexander Kerfoot, 16 minutes, 34 seconds. He was the one to me that really jumped up. Jason Spezza was a guy that didn't get a ton of ice time, 9 minutes, 11 seconds that way. But, you're right, challenge accepted. And it was the foot soldiers. Like a guy like William Nylander did not have a good game.
He played tonight?
Well, that's right. I mean, it was sort of some of the William Nylander missing in action.
My goodness.
After he came back last year. In his defense, he's had all in all a pretty decent start. But tonight was one of those he didn't step up big games for sure.
You know what's crazy? Game by game, we talked about this on Leafs Nation pregame. Ilya Mikheyev, like the confidence continues to grow, not only with the player, but the coach and the moments he's putting him on the ice. But again, very early on in his NHL career, but he does a lot of really good things out there that sometimes you don't even notice.
Well, he got one of those partial breakaways again that are just this most innocent-looking plays because his body shape and his skating style make no sense for his speed.
Yeah.
It is so deceptive. So he did one of those again tonight after he's had some earlier, which catches people by surprise. But, very, very steady. Certainly would add Ilya Mikheyev to the mix. And again, all kinds of guys stepping up. And now if Johnsson's going to miss any time, guys will have to step up a little bit more.
So, again, if you're just tuning in, the goal right now given to Mitch Marner in overtime, it doesn't matter. But it sounds like and it seems like at least given the picture that it's going to be Morgan Rielly eventually with the OT winner. A 4-3 win here for the Maple Leafs on this Saturday night. Behind 43 saves from Frederik Andersen. We'll get to him, among other stories. Luke Fox will stop by of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Mike Babcock will hear from him as well. A 4-3 win here at Scotiabank Arena. Nick Alberga, Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Continues here on Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey and Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave, but we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Scotiabank Arena. Leafs Nation postgame continues, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stillick with you. A crazy, crazy night here at Scotiabank Arena. The Maple Leafs pulling out a 4-3 OT victory. I'm not sure if they've changed it yet, but it seems like Morgan Rielly is going to get credit for the OT win behind a monster performance, Gord, I would say, from Frederik Andersen. 43 saves. The shots 46-29 in favor of the Bruins in this one.
And the second period, Leafs were outshot 15-3. And that's when they had the, okay, we'll go over the goals a little bit later on, but they had a 2-0 lead, which, oh boy, did we don't see just this on Thursday in Washington. Gave up a late goal in the first period in the last minute. Oh boy, did we not just see this last Thursday in Washington. And then, man, that flurry in the second period, which killed them in Washington, Freddie Andersen made sure the same did not happen. They got thoroughly outplayed in the second period, and Freddie Andersen kept the lead for them, kept them in the game, and then the third period was much more even.
Indeed it was, and plenty ahead over the next hour or so. Again, coming up the podium from Mike Babcock, who has to be pleased with his team's performance here, especially after that tough loss to the Capitals back on Wednesday, and Luke Fox will drop by for his thoughts on a 4-3 win in OT for the Maple Leafs behind a Morgan Rielly OT winner. All in all, I think your prototypical matchup and game between the Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins, they always seem to have tight hockey games, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. And, last time these two teams met was when the Leafs should have put it away. That's why it reminded me was that Game 6 that Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Unlike the other times when they lost in Game 7 to them and it went to a seventh game and the Leafs had to force a seventh game by winning the sixth, this time they basically on that Sunday afternoon had a 1-0 lead, had the momentum, got a couple of penalties against them, and Bruins went 2-for-2 on the power play. And as we know, they had to go. They forced a game 7, and we know what happened there. And this time, this is the first home game since then. So I was glad they'll play them 4 times this year. The second time will be on Tuesday in Boston. But this very well, once again, could be the team the Leafs face in the first round of the playoffs or at some point in the playoffs. So you might as well use these as kind of fine-tuning games for, even though you've played them a lot, just that what ultimate possible playoff reality.
I almost forgot that Game 6 until I remembered I got into a Twitter feud with an analytics dude who told me the Leafs had a 57% shot of winning that series previous to Game 6, and we know the rest of the story. And That person has since blocked me on Twitter, unfortunately. But nonetheless, well, Gord's like, what?
I'll unblock you if, you know,
Gord,
if you come around
stop.
A little bit to analytics.
Yeah, Gord's a big analytics guy. We know that. Not much of an eye test guy.
Martin Marincin pays off the analytics guy or something.
We're going to address this at some point in time.
Well,
I'm
going to address it
please.
Softly in
yes.
that just that you're trying different guys out for the 5th and 6th D on the Maple Leafs. When you get in the playoffs, you play your core four a lot more. Your 5th and 6th become even less. But, yeah, he's
isn't lasting much longer, Gordon.
Well, the point I have is it's kind of like, you know, when you're told about I can remember J.P. Ricciardi was general manager of the Jays, and he kept telling us we knew nothing about baseball, and this guy, Russ Adams, was going to be the guy. Remember
Stud.
Him?
Yep.
First-round pick, nothing happened, and, hey, maybe I don't know a ton about baseball, but I knew this guy couldn't play. And all I know is in Martin Marincin's case, it's just about he does well analytically. And, I'm just thinking, well, then you got to redo the data. That's all. You just have to redo the data.
The numbers are wrong.
If that's what it churns out, so...
I love the correlation of Russ Adams. I had sort of forgot him in my baseball vernacular, but now he's back. And I think you're right. It's a testing level. Again, we're for a good team, you're going to find reasons to naysay, and he's just not getting it done right now. I think Justin Hall, for the most part, the last couple games, he's done his thing.
I thought he had some strong plays.
He's played physical. He's done his thing out there, but it's a bad thing when you're noticing Marincin as much as you are tonight.
Well, and the Andreas Janssen block, unfortunately, would be because Marincin couldn't get a puck out of the zone that he should have got out, and the Leafs got hemmed in, and on Janssen, that's when he took that slap shot. And it was interesting. It could have been worse for him because he was down, and then he hobbled off, and good on the crowd. They gave a great ovation.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, the Bruins came back with a breakaway, which would have been the worst kind of thing, and that one came again. It was one of those good defensive plays. Somebody hustling back might have been capping on that play to knock it away. I mean, that's one thing tonight. I like the fact that the Leafs did that. They maybe bent at times but didn't break. They really had trouble clearing it out, though. The Bruins are really good that when they get you hemmed in and you get those clear outs that you think are going to clear the blue line, they keep it in a lot.
It's a
good reminder. It's a good reminder about the excellence of this Bruin team and the excellence it's going to take if you intend to go far in the playoffs.
The dulcet tones of Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. Leafs Nation postgame continues. A 4-3 OT win for the Maple Leafs against the rival Boston Bruins. Morgan Rielly, we think, will get eventual credit right now. It's Mitch Marner, and I'm glad you brought up, and again, we'll hear from Mike Babcock, the head coach, in his podium coming up momentarily. The D-zone breakdowns were a thing I noticed, especially in the third period. They got to clean that up. That side of the ice, I understand you're going against future Hall of Famers and in the perfection line for the Boston Bruins, but they carved, and I mean carved, the Maple Leafs up from an offensive standpoint and forecheck standpoint there in the third period in OT.
Well, and that's where, again, you go back to Freddie Anderson because it's happened three other occasions, and two of them, unfortunately, for Michael Hutchinson. He was the goaltender. The other one was the Tampa Bay Lightning. They just made mincemeat of the Leafs D, but against Montreal, there was that collapse, and against the Washington Capitals, and again, tonight, you used the good term about tidying it up because it wasn't to the same level that way. Because I thought, again, they played intelligent. Sometimes when you get running around, you got to just, okay, take a breath and everybody take a man, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's easier said than done, but basically, you know, just do that. Keep it simple. You know, everyone do a job rather than three or four people trying to do everything. And I thought they did that quite well tonight.
And again, those are taxing minutes. Don't get me wrong. You're playing one of the best teams in hockey, especially in the third period. You're down a top six forward in Andreas Janssen. No John Tavares. All in all, picking at things right now. But certainly one of the things I noticed there in the third period was just how they got worked a bit in the defensive zone, and certainly has been a theme for this team throughout this season. That said, we know in game one without John Tavares in this lineup, the Janssen line was going, but then Janssen leaves this game after blocking that shot, and they put Trevor Moore. A lot, you know, was wondering about how they would go and attack the lines going into this one with no JT. We saw a lot of Marner and Matthews together at the beginning with Janssen. There was a lot of chemistry building. Janssen goes down. They put Trevor Moore on that line. What'd you make of that trio?
Again, it's incomplete because nobody really, you know, because nobody played a complete game that
really,
way.
Yeah.
I've just loved Trevor Moore, his hustle, and the way he gets the puck, particularly behind the offensive players, offensive team's net. And, again, this year we talk about the other guys making the team, and they're all forwards. right? You know, you're hoping some defenseman can follow the Travis Dermott scenario and like the forwards did and become prominent NHLers. And by the way, Stevie Fellin, who's a stats whiz here at Sportsnet. So the goal now will likely, if it has not yet, formally be given to Morgan Riley instead of Mitch Marner in overtime. But Steve had just mentioned that goal at the time, only the third even-strength goal of Marner's career that's assisted by Matthews.
That's right.
So now it remains at two. So it just shows, you know, this is year number four. They've both been on the team, but this shows how little they've played together, that there's only been now two even-strength regular season goals that they've, I guess it's Marner's goal that Matthew got an assist on. Maybe it's the same the other way around, but it's not a lot. This was unusual tonight, and I think unusually pleasant for guys like me and you to see them together with so much ice time.
Yeah, and again, to reiterate his stance on Marner and Matthews playing together, there are a lot of really, really extreme highs, but also a lot of extreme lows, and that's why I think you're seeing a Trevor Moore on that line sometimes.
Yeah, and again, you know, Mike Babcock was on forever about Pavel Datsyuk always saying, look, I don't need another Pavel Datsyuk on my line. I need someone to get me the puck. And that's what he tries to put on each line. Connor Brown did a lot of that, too, the year he got 20 goals, actually. He got a lot of goals, but he did a lot of digging that as well. And the other one thing is we did not see them on the power play because the Maple Leafs had zero power plays. And it's a befuddling stat. I don't use the word befuddling
like
very often.
Word,
yeah,
word.
Well, it's appropriate here.
Well done.
That last year they were dead last in the NHL in drawing penalties. It was something like 2.3 power play attempts per game, which is strange for one of the better teams, one of the more talented teams, because you should be drawing hooks and interferences and things like that. And that was just a puzzling stat. So early this year, they were getting a whack of power plays. And I guess it was our good friend Chris Johnson that just said, I think that'll come down. And it has, but tonight, zero. You know, granted, the Bruins got a few opportunities, and a lot of those were when they hemmed the Leafs in. There was the fatigue and the reaching and hooking or something like that. It was Brad Marchand. There was a bit of a late hit in the first period that the referee chose not to call, and I think that kind of signaled they were going to let that go.
Yeah.
But they called the other hooking stuff and whatever. And, you know, Nick, to the Maple Leafs' credit, I thought physically they had a lot more hitting. I thought with the Washington Capitals Thursday made a point of being physical with the Leafs, and the Leafs not so much with Washington. I thought tonight that the Leafs played a more physical game against the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, and I think to that point, a guy like Jake Muzzin here in his first full season with this team, we know he's a UFA or slated UFA on July 1, I think he's so important. You look at the pedigree and the track record of the player and how many big games he's played in the playoffs and how heavy he can play the game. He kills penalties. He's going to be a vital guy if you're going to tame the Boston Bruins. And I thought he was good in that first round last year against the Bees, but certainly a guy who goes under the radar because he's not really an offensive guy. He can chip in, but he plays and logs a lot of key minutes for this team.
Boy, 27 minutes, 1 second. Now, there was overtime, so there's 5 extra minutes, but he had the most of any Leaf. Tyson Barry was 25:48. Morgan Riley was 25 minutes, 39 seconds, but that's a lot of minutes that he logged. And by the way, looking at the hits, because I went to look at Jake Muzzin's hits, and he had 4 of them. Again, it's kind of a, you know, subjective statistic that way about hits, but he had 4 of them. Dmytro Timoshov, 9 hits.
He played well tonight.
Yeah, he was one of the second star. First time he's been one of the 3 stars. He got his first career NHL goal, but 9 hits, and he, you know, that's nice. I said Andreas Johnsson as well had a little bit of chippiness and edge at the start of the games, but they're getting some guys that are willing to put their nose into it a little bit.
And maybe more so, that's the unexpected balance in terms of depth scoring so far for this team this season. We've seen the fourth line chip in more, I guess, on the surface than it did last year. But we're going to hear now from Mike Babcock.
Translate into the rest of the game and be as tough a second period as it was.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we got off to a good start. We struggled in the second with penalty trouble. I thought really got us out of flow. Gave a good power play, good opportunities. And so, in the end, that probably, you know, that affects us. I don't know how many pounds do we take? 1, 2, 3, 4. How many we get? I didn't know that. Anyway, what's up? Pardon me? I think he's going to be fine. Any x-rays were negative. Now we'll see in the morning. He might not practice tomorrow, but he'll be back at her.
When and why did you decide to try Mitch in Willie's spot to start?
Well, no, it wasn't in Willie's spot. It was just we had talked about it 2 days ago, kind of knew what we were going to do. We were going to play Willie with Matty when it was in the offensive zone, and it was set up that way when it was a matchup situation. We were going to play Mitchie, and then if we went with Matty in the O zone, we wanted Mitchie to play with Kerf so we could match that up, and then we're going to match up Goat in the D zone. So I wasn't going to explain all that to you. We don't waste the time, right?
But,
yeah, we'll just try to evaluate for the next game what we're going to do. We'll look at it tomorrow and get it figured out and then go from there. I mean, you know, when we lost Johnny, we were a little more short-staffed, so moving guys around. I thought we had some guys that had strong game. Mikhailov, I thought, had a real good game. I thought Timo had a real good game. Goat was outstanding. So you go through, there's lots of guys that really contributed here tonight.
How big a tool is that fourth line for you in games like this that you didn't have here?
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have trusted Goat in these situations before. It's no different than Haller. Is you get better every year. Sometimes you don't get to play, but you're getting better. You're around NHL practice every day. You're training, you're working, you're getting better. And then when they make the step and they earn the confidence, then they really get better. And obviously, Goat's been important for us, really important for us.
How about Demetrio today, getting his first goal? Pretty good shot.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got 4 points or something. What I like about him is he's nasty. You know, he hits everything that moves, and he's heavy on the puck. And he's on the forecheck all the time and provides speed for Shorzy and Goat.
Are you tempted to get Oskar Mokhnich more often, like, over the years?
Not really. I'm tempted to have the best lineup we can. And if that's them together, then I'd do that. But John Tavares is a pretty good player, too, you know, on that line. We get Hyman back. That's pretty dominant line for us. So, and then Matty and Johnny and Willie have been a good line for us as well in the past. So I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict that. I just know that you go day to day. You get to write about it after. I got to decide Jern. You know, it's not as easy to second guess Jern. You got to make those decisions in advance. And so sometimes it goes good and you feel great, and sometimes it goes terrible and you wish you wouldn't have done it.
Austin used the phrase statement game. You know, what kind of emotional impact can having one like this early in the season pay off down the road?
Yeah, I don't know about a statement game, but what I would say to you is this: is that it was more important for our team than their team. It was important because John was out to find a way to win, and it was probably even more important when we lost little John that we got it done. I thought Freddie, you know, had a real good, looks like he's back. That's an important part for us as well. And I thought he had an unbelievable night for us.
Thanks,
see you guys.
And just like that, blessed with one of the team nicknames, and Lil Jon, actually
John.
Gord Stellick's favorite rapper. Yeah.
Lil Jon. So I guess Andreas Janssen is Lil Jon. I don't know if he's aware of the nickname. So
my goodness.
That was the good thing that he says, that x-rays were negative and first blush. But Andreas Janssen's, and by the way, a lot of things we can go through, but just got to mention, because my good buddy, tennis partner, Ted Joanno, and his son, CJ, were at the game and texted me. By the way, we won 6-1 today, Ted and I.
Great.
But wondering, because did that puck not go off Morgan Rielly? And yes, they have formally changed the overtime goal to Morgan Rielly from Mitch Marner. So now Austin Matthews gets ripped off an assist as well, because they're ruling it deflected off Rielly, so they're just giving the one assist for
really?
Now, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that's about as good a pass as Austin Matthews can make, but right now that goal is, so it's Morgan Rielly from Mitch Marner has been the change. So now Ted and CJ and everybody else out there know it's official what we saw.
All right, there you have it. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. Leafs Nation post-game continues. We now welcome in of Sportsnet.ca and Sportsnet, it's Luke Fox. Luke, leaps and bounds, clearly a much better effort than we saw Wednesday in Washington against the Capitals. What did you make of this 4-3 OT win for the Buds?
Yeah, it was the most entertaining and most passionate game the Leafs have played this season. And I think they kind of needed Boston to come into town to wake them up. You know, the fact that it's a real rival, the fact, you know, their leading goal scorer and captain is injured, their first game without John Tavares since he signed that $77 million contract. This one had a little extra juice, and it was telling that it meant a lot to the players. You know, after the game, Morgan Riley said they needed to answer the bell. Auston Matthews called it a statement game. And usually in October, you don't hear those phrases tossed about in the Leafs room. They kind of just say, you know, there's a challenge every night, blah, 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 cliches. This one meant a little more. You could tell by how hard they celebrated after an October win. You know, this one meant something. In fact, that, you know, Andreas Johnsson goes down mid-game, blocking a shot. There was just a little extra passion and tension in this one. And it was a blast to watch. I mean, there were certainly moments where it was sloppy, but they came out on top in front of their home fans on a Saturday night. It was a pretty big one.
So it was interesting. So Mike Babcock just had a lot of neat little things, a lot of neat little nicknames and what have you. And I just wonder, Luke, when the question was asked about putting the two guys together and somebody being in William Nylander's spot, I think first Babcock takes exception that you don't assign spots. They're all Mike Babcock spots, I guess. But then I didn't follow. Did you follow the whole explanation after that about, I still don't know what any kind of answer was about his line makeup tonight?
Well, apparently this was the plan. So Mitch said that he found out this morning. So part of it's gamesmanship on Cassidy, right? You know, that they go through the warm-ups with Nylander and Matthews together. They practiced yesterday with Nylander and Matthews together, and all of a sudden for the opening draw, it's Marner. I think his main thing this year is O-zone versus D-zone starts. So he always wants the fourth line in the D-zone. He wants Matthews starting in the O zone. So I think he wanted, you know, Mitch there if it was like neutral zone or D zone and maybe Willie if it was O zone. But, you know, it's just, I think it's fun for fans to see them together. Like, we haven't seen them at even strength together very often. So that was a treat. And the fact that, you know, that line generated the first goal of the game, showed that it paid immediate dividends, and then Matthews and Marner, although I guess, you know, they didn't officially connect because it bounced off Riley, but they pretty much connected for the game winner. So it's good to see a little taste of them at even strength, because the guys have been here for over 3 years and we've hardly seen any time with them on the ice together.
Yeah, and clearly unreal talent and skill level between those two players. But again, the jury is still out if they can get it done, defensively speaking, 5-on-5 with Luke Fox. A 4-3 OT win for the Maple Leafs on an OT winner off the shin pad of one Morgan Riley, who I think all could agree is the first star in terms of the shin pad being the first star of this game. How long, Luke, do you think this... And I made the joke, I think it was in preseason, Martin Marincin should be captain, but... you noticed him again for the wrong reasons tonight, for sure. How much longer do you think he continues to be in this lineup?
Well, you know, who do they give a look to? Kevin Gravel, I guess. Maybe he gets a look. That would make sense coming up on a back-to-back. Maybe you sit Marinch in one of those games. I thought Justin Hall broke up a couple nice plays, and yeah. I thought he's done a tremendous job kind of establishing himself as a third pairing defenseman here for now, at least. But yeah, Marincin, you know, a couple rough penalties. I just, you know, the Leafs obviously didn't think that should have been coincidental minors when he put Backes into a headlock. And I think that's because he didn't want to get into a knuckle chucking contest with David Backes, because he would have come out on the short end. But, you know, it's just, it was kind of unnecessary. I mean, if you put a guy a headlock and pull him to the ground, you're kind of testing the ref there a little bit. And then he got out of the box, and before he could even get to the bench for a change, he committed another penalty. You know, the Leafs are lucky to have survived that second period, especially just because of the minors and because there were some stretches there where guys couldn't get off and they were just hemmed in their own zone, and the Boston Bruins were doing Boston Bruins things, you know, buzzing the puck around, and then they were tired, and that's what led to the penalties.
Yeah, and we concur. I think I've been really pleased with Justin Hall's yep. play as well, just like you mentioned. And, you know, Luke, it's amazing that you're hoping that some of these young defense can assimilate themselves in the NHL, like the forwards seem to continue to do with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, you look at Trevor Moore playing this year, and then earlier on it was Ilya Mikheyev who his pronunciation has been changed by Babs again. But anyway,
so
that caught our attention. And then tonight, boy, not just his first NHL goal, but Dmytro Timoshov, 9 hits. Like, the guy's really been a solid NHL player from game one, really. So it was nice to for him to get some of the spotlight tonight.
Oh, he was fantastic tonight. I mean, that kid, he has 4 points in 6 games in his NHL career, and he's playing on the fourth line. Like, for him to be able to contribute, you know, after the game, he stood there, he talked to, you know, the regular Toronto reporters, he talked to some Russian reporters. You couldn't wipe the smile off this kid's face. And he said he was surprised he got a goal so quickly. He said, you know, I'm a passer. I'm a passer first. He's like, I hardly ever shoot it. But that was a heck of a shot. I mean, that was a laser. It beat Halak clean and high. It was a nice snipe. And a nice, joyful celebration, too. He did, like, a high leg kick, pump both arms. You know, you just love to see these stories. And, like, him in the lineup, Mikheyev, you know, seeing some top 6 minutes tonight. Like, these fines do not look out of place. Trevor Moore getting bumped up with Marner and Matthews towards the end after Johnson went down. They really have an enviable amount of forward depth. I mean, they're paying for it, for sure, but it's something that is a luxury in Toronto, and not a lot of teams can do that, have guys step up into top 6 roles that they've never had before and not look out of place.
Yeah, the balance of scoring has been pretty impressive, although, I mean, we're not even 10 games into this season, but thus far they're even getting the fourth line chipping in, as they saw tonight, and Timoshov scoring his first NHL goal. Lastly, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Frederik Andersen. I think from puck drop, he was on in this game and clearly a big reason why they come away with the OT win. Would you agree?
Yes. Austin Matthews heaped praise on him. It was interesting that Mike Babcock said he's back, and he hasn't said that before. So, you know, this was a big game for him. And Morgan Riley won that Raptors basketball player of the game from their last win when he had 4 assists. And he immediately gave it to Freddie. You know, that in that room, they feel he was the star tonight. And it was good to see him back in form, because they need him.
Luke, thanks so much. Great stuff. And we'll talk next Saturday. Appreciate it.
Have a great night, gentlemen.
You as well. That's Luke Fox of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. A 4-3 OT win here for the Maple Leafs at Scotiabank Arena. Morgan Riley off his shin pad for the OT win. Plenty ahead over this week for the Maple Leafs. Monday, home to the Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday at the same Boston Bruins. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, and you're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers right here on Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey and Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, sir. Happy times here at Scotiabank Arena on this Saturday. A 4-3 OT win for the Maple Leafs against the rival Boston Bruins. Welcome back to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. It's time for the VTech call of the game. When the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call, call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize. To qualify for the grand prize, visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Matthews works wide on the left wing side. Riley's in front of the net. It goes around back of the goal in front for Marner. Scores! Holy mackerel! Tied, the Leafs big boys win the game.
Joe Bowen, great call. About 25 minutes or so ago, he might have to come back and redo it because it went off the shin pad of Morgan Riley.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Morgan Riley, and just a little detection there. It might have gone wide, actually, so it was a very fortuitous deflection. It still was it's going to be one of those highlight reel plays. And most overtime goals by a Leaf defenseman. We're talking regular season since it was instituted in 2005. Thomas Cabrerle, 7. Riley now is tied for second with Brian McCabe with 4. And the other one, the infamous Pavel Kabina. The Pavel Kabina
I deleted
era.
Him from my memory.
Well, he had four overtime goals, so you should remember those.
Wow.
You know, how about that?
Four?
Yeah, I know what. I know. That, imagine how bad the D was that he got out there on 3-on-3 in overtime.
I'm trying to remember what number he wore. It wasn't 13, clearly.
31? Don't know.
The reverse Sundin for Pavel Kabina?
I think the coach looked down the bench and had Aki Berg or Pavel Kabina.
And he's like, let's go
said,
Kabina.
I got to put, let's go Kabina.
That
yes.
was not the Carpets of Era, as you all know. So there's your VTech call of the game. A 4-3 OT win here for the Maple Leafs. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation postgame continuing on. Let's go back downstairs into the dressing room where we find one Austin Matthews.
The excitement not only to play Boston, but realizing you're going to get a new line mate here tonight to start the game?
Yeah, it's always exciting. I mean, we haven't played with each other much, but I think every time we get paired up together, we get pretty excited out there and just try to make the most of it, make plays, and try to create offense and obviously keep the puck out of our net. I just try to hold in. You know, I think the guy slid on their first post, and I just try to get around, find somebody open, and got Mitch, and then I think it tapped Mo, and it went in, so that's all that matters. You know, it's a big extra point for us. Obviously, you know, this is going to be a statement game. You know, they've gotten off to a hot start, so we want to make sure we came out on time and played well. Yeah, he was huge for us. I mean, I don't think we liked you know, him getting run into a couple times, but you know, he was solid in there. He made some big saves, kept us in it at times when we weren't playing well, especially in that second period. So he had a heck of a game tonight. So I think you know, he was probably our MVP. I thought we did well. I think anytime you're playing in that line, you know, you got to be extra cautious. You can't cheat for offense. You got to compete out there, especially in the face-off dot against a guy like that. So, you know, I thought we did a pretty good job. And obviously, you know, we scored one, they scored one, and we like the end result. So, you know, just got to carry that into Monday.
You build on the opening 18 or so minutes, Washington, and what you were able to do here tonight, and maybe try to extend it. It seemed pretty thorough.
Yeah, I tried to extend that into 60 minutes. So, you know, like I said, I thought a little bit in that second period. I got away from us a little bit, got stuck out there, you know, kind of screwed over our D-man, long shifts, getting stuck in our own zone. So, you know, I thought we cleaned it up well and into the third.
What was saying you thought the intensity carried over from last spring? Did you expect that, given the fact that it's
Yeah, of course. I mean, geez, we've seen these guys, we've seen them four times in the regular season. We've seen them seven times in the playoffs the last 2 years. So we've seen them quite a bit. So I'm sure, you know, each team's sick of each other. So anytime we get together, it's usually a pretty physical, intense game. And I think tonight it was one.
What's different with Mitch versus William?
I don't know. I mean, they're different but similar in ways. They obviously see the ice well, really good on their edges, good skaters. And I think anytime they got the puck, you just try to get open and try to find each other and, you know, support each other and, you know, one another has the puck. I think that's the main thing is communication out there, finding each other out there and just playing fast and playing with speed and pace.
There you have it, Austin Matthews, who was in good spirits because he thought he had an assist on the OT winner, but that since has changed, and I'd like the interview changed.
Well, they got to give that back, man. I mean, that was a great play he made.
Like, are we at that level in this NHL world where we're trying to get more offense going and we're taking assists like that?
Yeah, well, it's one thing I did like, Nick, is he played 22 minutes, 52 seconds. So Mike Babcock's using him more. Only one shot on net. And I'll tell you, that's one thing the Bruins are a team that gives him no room.
Yeah.
Playing center, he gets no room. They know this guy's got this incredibly wicked, or as the kids say, sick, or as they used to say, sick, whatever they say now, shot. And they really get on him quick that way. You really do notice that.
I think the word you're looking for is gnarly. That's
gnarly.
The new,
that's another
sick
one.
Shot. But I think you're right, and obviously a bigger emphasis on both sides of the puck with John Tavares out of the lineup is going to be on Austin Matthews. And I think defensively, you noticed him a bit more clearly in terms of his responsibilities, a bit bigger in this one.
Yeah, I think he's really worked hard at his two-way game as well at center because, you know, as a 19-year-old, the year before, it was Connor McDavid who was the only 19-year-old playing full-time center, and then Austin Matthews. So I agree. So does that mean because Vic's not feeling well, he's gnarly?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to be clear about
both things.
He thinks he has food poisoning.
But is the 29-year-old... Vic Palladian's our man. He's not feeling well, but he is...
persevered.
Well, he's got to be here by law, so it's unfortunate. Meantime, I think Gord might have a feature on Morgan Riley's shin pad coming up this week, but the shin pad and the player, the OT winner since change from Marner. Let's hear now from Morgan Riley.
You scored the goal. Are you at liberty to say...
No.
What do you see on the sequence?
two really good players going back and forth with it. And, you know, when they're on the ice together, it's great. And you just kind of let them do the work.
Does just a win like this mean for the group, Morgan, not having Jolly Moose
and Jolly? Yeah, it's big. Obviously, I mean, a team within the division, not having John, just kind of a point in our year where we want to get going, and I think we answered the bell, and not as clean as we wanted to win, but we got it done anyway, so we'll take it.
Not as clean, Morgan, but what did you think of Freddie Ostrander?
Thought he was outstanding. You know, made a lot of big saves for us. He's been great all year, and, you know, it's nice to win one on home ice. I know he's pumped, so, you know, we'll try to keep this thing going.
One of the tougher matchups in the league, how did you feel it went today against that top line?
I think it went all right. Obviously, they got a couple late, but again, I mean, we'll take the win, so we're happy with that. And we're gonna meet tomorrow and, you know, talk about what we have to do in order to keep it going at home.
Was there a meeting of the minds after the second period in terms of regrouping for what you knew was going to be a tough third?
Yeah, I think so. I think you just gotta keep calm a little bit. You know, it's easy to get worked up when you're on the penalty kill a lot, and I mean, they're having lots of zone time, so. I think it's important to keep calm, and I thought we came out in the third and played pretty well.
Did you get an explanation, Morgan, on what happened with the sequence with Freddie and Backus going in there and how it did? Or?
Not really, no. It's over now, so it's not really that important.
So just to be clear, is that shot
I'm not. I don't know.
Who was your basketball to give tonight?
Give to Freddie.
Easy choice?
Yep.
You can tell on that scum, Morgan Riley's like, okay, I got plans. Let's move on with life. But his shin pad, the OT hero, and I think we can both agree, probably Morgan Riley's best game. He was noticeable for the right reasons tonight.
Well, yeah, well, tough. You know, I know it was Minnesota, but getting four assists in one period was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But he just has, Nick, the last couple of games, there's just almost
starting
like
to play. Yeah.
Yeah, taking charge of his own state a bit. And by being more assertive, I think him and Cody Ceci have been a little bit better pair.
They stabilized,
struggled. Yeah. Yeah, they really weren't in sync the first number of games in the first five or so games in the regular season.
And so a 4-3 OT win here for the Maple Leafs at Scotiabank Arena against the rival Boston Bruins. We'll wrap this puppy up after this. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers, Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey, and Sportsnet 590, The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game. Here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
For the final time, welcome back to Scotiabank Arena. An exhilarating 4-3 OT victory for your Maple Leafs against the rival Boston Bruins off the shin pad, I should say, of Morgan Riley in overtime. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, Leafs Nation postgame, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Maple Leafs Radio Network. Gord, we look ahead now. This 5-3-1 Maple Leafs team, a very busy week ahead with four games in 7 days, starting right here with Leafs Nation pregame coming up at 6:30 p.m. on Monday night. It's Toronto hosting the Columbus Blue Jackets. Second time those two teams have hooked up this year.
Yeah, and certainly a good mode going into it, getting the win tonight, because then Tuesday they're in Boston. Rare Friday night game. They have those, just a couple of them, and the San Jose Sharks. So you're right, there's a lot going on. Columbus, interesting team. They made a lot of changes. Goaltending, you wondered, going with Corpusalo. They're taking a bit of a risk that way, so that should be a good tilt on Monday.
And, you know, we had a pregame bet that Par Lindholm, I thought, would get a video tribute. Safe to say that Patrick Marleau is going to get acknowledged on Friday night?
I would think so. Yeah, Par Lindholm, I don't even think a lot of people realize he's with the Boston Bruins.
I thought he was a force tonight.
I think just as many don't remember he's actually with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So he was sort of those interchangeable parts. But, you know, that's the business now. Those guys are going to be kind of mercenaries year after year after year, trying to catch on with certain NHL teams. So, yes, the video tribute did not extend to Par Lindholm.
The one person in this building who did know Par Lindholm was a Maple Leaf was Nick Patan, because he was in Winnipeg and found him himself going to Toronto. That trade to me still does not make sense. But anyway,
I know they just like let's just make a trade.
It's like let's make life miserable for both these guys. Patan wanted a trade, sent him to Toronto, and of course, Parlin home had a cup of tea with the Winnipeg Jets. Before we get out of here, Gord, let's take a look at the out of town scoreboard. 11 games in total on this Saturday in the National Hockey League, including a couple of matinee affairs. What'd you make of these two? The Devils 1-0 over Vancouver. Montreal 5-2 against St. Louis.
Well, the great script. Finally, Jack Hughes gets his first career NHL goal, and what a better way in a 1-0 win over the Vancouver Canucks. It was neat seeing the parents with T-shirts with both the Devils and Canucks jerseys on because Quinn Hughes' brother, of course, plays in Vancouver. And Montreal. Montreal's really played well. St. Louis been a little bit of a funk, but, boy, they got backup goaltending.
It's called a hangover, Gord.
They got backup goaltending issues as well with Jake Allen.
He makes more than this guy, though.
6 seconds into the period, like he missed one coming down. But, they have been celebrating a lot. They went to the White House. They went to the local state legislature, did the St. Louis Blues. But give Montreal Canadiens full marks. Oh, by the way, it was this day, 1995, 24 years ago, because the Leafs were in Montreal. I was there, and the Montreal Canadiens, normally the most stable of organizations, had fired Serge Savard as their general manager, Jacques Demers as their head coach.
Wow.
And they just won the cup a couple of years ago. And that night they announced, Mario Tremblay as the head coach, Yvon Cornway as an assistant coach, Rajon Uhl as the general manager. And it was a disaster, and Mario Tremblay decided he didn't like that Patrick Roy had been such a prima donna, and he was going to take him to task and make him accountable. How do you like them apples now? A couple weeks later, he left.
The hands go up against Detroit, and c'est la vie, as they say en français. It's Nick Elberger, Gord Stellick wrapping up Leafs Nation post-game out-of-town scoreboard. The Colorado Avalanche telling you right now they're the real deal. 7-0-1 out of the gates. How about this for a statement? In Amalie Arena in Tampa, the Lightning now 4-3-1. It wasn't that they won. It was how they won. A 6-2 win. Big night for Tyson Jost.
Yeah, it really was. Nazem Kadri got a goal as well. They're kind of what the Toronto Maple Leafs hope to be from the West. Or maybe Colorado would have said they hope to be the Toronto Maple Leafs in the West, but they've certainly just exploded last year.
They addressed their depth scoring, of course, with the Kadri trade. Burakovsky's had a hot start, Jonas Donskoi as well. Meantime, in Philadelphia, tough start for Alain Vigneault, 2-3-1 of the Flyers, and just a huge, huge win for Jim Montgomery and the Dallas Stars, 4-1 on the road, including 1-1 from Corey Perry, so he gets his first goal as a member of the Dallas Stars. They're way too good to be this bad now.
Yeah, they are. They really are. I mean, it's funny. Very, very polarizing team prediction-wise. Some people saying they could be a Stanley Cup favorite. Others saying they won't make the playoffs. But Corey Perry, nice to see.
Yeah.
Just a guy injury-plagued, brings that it factor, and then got hurt in the offseason. I guess it's the second or third game back, so
yeah.
Good win for the Dallas Stars.
PPG Paints Arena, Marc-Andre Fleury, this is just so perfect. He wears number 29, a 29-save shutout in Pittsburgh against his former team, a 3-0 win for Vegas, improving to 6-3-0. Tristan Jarry, the call in that game, 21-save. Stastny Carlson, that's William, and Mark Stone, his sixth in the empty net, so a 3-0 win. For Vegas there.
You know, how many guys could go into a visiting arena, like Marc-Andre Fleury technically is, and the fans in that visiting arena be thrilled for him getting a shutout against the home team?
It's a good point.
That may be the only example currently in the NHL.
You're right. They love it. Like, he is beloved, as we know, in Pittsburgh. The Islanders went on the road in Columbus. Monday night's opponent here at Scotiabank, of course. Brock Nelson, the OT win for the Islanders. Arizona 5, Ottawa 2. So the Coyotes' offense starting to go after a very slow start for them. Antti Raanta, the call and goal there. The Coyotes now 4-2-1 in the first seven. And the Florida Panthers win it via a shootout against the Nashville Predators, 3-2 the final. The Preds, by their standards, have had a slow start, 4-3-1 out of the gates for them. They struggled a bit defensively, too.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier, the most important thing of Ottawa and Arizona is no Uber incidents for the Ottawa Senator players with an Arizona Uber. That's where it happened last year. And Florida's case, so Nashville gets the point. I was talking to Pete Mahovlich down in the press room earlier.
Not a big deal.
And he is a scout for Florida and just talked about they're not getting the extra points. This is tonight the first time they've got a shootout or overtime point, right? I think they've had three of them before that didn't, and they really need to bank points because they've just run a little bit short the last couple of years in the Eastern Conference, and they don't expect to fall short this year.
They don't, and Gord, looking forward to a very busy week of Maple Leafs action starting on Monday night against the Columbus Blue Jackets here at Scotiabank Arena, starting with Leaf Nation pregame, and hopefully the Leafs can build off this effort, this 4-3 win against Boston tonight.
Yeah, you want to go in a bit of a roll there. They didn't start as fast as they did last year, and much like I said, the Florida Panthers, every team, you want to bank some points. Okay, let's get them early. Florida's looking to struggle to make a spot. Leafs, you assume they're going to make a playoff spot.
Well, there you have it. Great stuff, Gord. We'll talk on Monday. That's Gord Stellick. Many thanks to our cast of many helping out tonight. Andrew Holland, a very under-the-weather Vic Palladian, brought it tonight. Doesn't matter. Sam McKee, our producer, and, of course, Cal Norris. For Gord Stellick, I'm Nick Alberga. Once again, a 4-3 OT victory here for the Maple Leafs against the rival Boston Bruins off the shin pad of Morgan Riley. Thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to Molson Canadian Leafs Hockey on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.